In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Spirit. Amen. Well, today we're going to be looking at the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the basic theme is vocation, call. But between the Isaiah text, which is background, and the Markan text, we have the text of James. And James is talking about, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my works that are inspired by faith. You know, faith is an energy. It's not an opinion. And now he himself is concerned about those who are misunderstanding Paul. And that's why he's writing that. But it inspired me to take a look at our hiatus, our gap between faith and culture in our own society. John Paul II says in one place, faith which does not become culture is a faith which has not been fully received, completely thought out, or completely embraced. Faith of its nature produces a culture, which is what James is saying. And so I've decided to put aside for a little while that work we began on Joseph Ratzinger's understanding of Scripture, to use this first section to talk about faith and culture, because I feel that it's very important that we understand we have a responsibility, and to examine our conscience. You know, are we Catholics because we go to Mass on Sunday, or because we send the kids to Catholic school, or are we Catholic because we have a vision of reality that comes through Jesus Christ, who dwells in us and teaches us through the gospel, and teaches us what human life is all about? All right. So I have another long paper I wrote, and we're going to go over pieces of it. And so the title of these talks is going to be Faith's Responsibility for Culture. We're responsible for the culture we live in. So it will be helpful at the outset to reflect on the meaning of the two key terms in the title, faith and culture. First, faith. Basing itself on a statement from the First Vatican Council and expanding it, the dogmatic constitution Dei Verbum speaks of the obedience of faith, which is a text from Romans. To believe is to yield to God and to yield to his authority. You see, it's not just, yeah, I'm a Catholic. I send my kids to Catholic school. No, it's more than that. It's a vision of reality. Faith is a way of knowing. Okay. It's to be given to God who reveals, an obedience by which man commits his whole self freely to God, offering the full submission of intellect and will to God who reveals, and freely assenting to the truth revealed by him. That's all from Dei Verbum, from Vatican II, that statement, that's faith. You're different if you believe. And if you aren't different, your faith is at least weak. And can anybody tell the difference between a Jew and a pig? I don't mean you rattle your rosary beads at everybody. I mean you're different, because you have a different conscious vision of reality, which is God-given. And that should produce a culture. Okay. Thus, the truth of faith appears to the person also as a good, something which moves the will, enabling someone to commit his whole self freely to God. An explicit experiential aspect of faith can also be found in Dei Verbum 12 when speaking about the development of doctrine. In this connection, we also consider the terms which Hans-Urs von Balthasar sums up the view of Karl Barth, quote, faith is the experience of God. It's not a culture. That is, there can be a devout or upright or nice culture. It's not really getting his life from faith. When you think what we maintain, that God became man, and that in an act of love he died on the cross, gathered up all our sinfulness, brought it back to the Father in reconciliation, and prepared us for an eternal life with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the blessed body and soul. That's where we're going. That's where the world is called to go. And if it doesn't go there, there aren't a lot of other choices. To be aware of that, and to know then what it means to tell people about it in lots of different ways. Okay. Faith is the experience of God, the immediate awareness of a life force lying behind this world to which the individual is raised and which gives to the individual a trans-individual life. That's Karl Barth. Now we're going to go on. Faith is an act by which a person, I'm going on as my own definition now, by which a person freely responds to the revealing act of God, in which God communicates and manifests himself and the knowledge of his plan of salvation. And now there is this quote from Aquinas, a long one, but a beautiful one. It's in his commentary on Boethius' De Trinitate. So also in the faith by which we believe in God, there is not only the accepting of the object of assent, but something moving us to the assent. This is a kind of light, the habit of faith, divinely imparted to the human mind. It's a gift. If that gift is in us, our minds are being moved to assent to God, his reality, his plan, and the meaning of reality as he explains it. It's a healing. Okay. It is more capable of causing assent than any demonstration. Thus, this light is an adequate means of making judgments. This is all Aquinas. The habit of faith, however, does not move us by way of the intellect. This is key. But rather by way of the will. Why? Because the intellect can only assent to what it grasps clearly. It's the will that moves us to believe. And we're always playing over our head. You see, we never control the Trinity, the Incarnation, Jesus, present in the Eucharist. Okay. The habit of faith, however, does not move us by way of the intellect, but rather by way of the will. As a consequence, it does not make us see what we believe, this is Aquinas, nor does it force our assent, but it causes us to assent voluntarily. What a mystery, huh? Is moving us, but not forcing us, this light of God, which he gives as a free gift. Okay. As a consequence, it does not make us see what we believe, nor does it force our assent, but causes us to assent voluntarily. Causes us to assent voluntarily. It is clear, then, that faith comes from God in two ways, by way of an interior light that leads to assent, and by way of the realities that are proposed from without, and that had as their source divine revelation. See, the motor of faith is the will. But the light is desirable. It's appetible. We have to will it. We have to come out of the world in which we're in control and will. But that's the grace of faith. It resides in the mind, but it's caused by the will. Okay. Now, we're going to look at a little bit more on faith. If we consider the two lights which constitute revelation, we have in 2 Corinthians 4:6 one of the most dramatic expressions of the fact that they are two aspects of one act on the part of God. This is a quote now from Corinthians. God, who said, "Out of darkness light shall shine," is the one who has caused his light to shine in our hearts for the enlightenment which consists in the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Christ Jesus. Our whole being yearns for that. That's the gift. You see? And then the will is moved by that light, which is appetible, it's glorious, and we yield to it. But it's completed in vision in heaven. Then we do see. Because the Trinity is that reality which is more present to our spirit, to our being, than anything else. So much present that it is the presence of the Trinity within us that keeps our body alive and prosperous for eternity. That's what we mean by the resurrection of the body, okay? It is in and through this ascent comes a genuine knowledge. It is by the light that comes from God that one is able to grasp the light of God on the face of Jesus Christ. The activity by which a person yields to the reality of Christ brings with it a certain elevation and certitude. As this intensifies, it is able to preside over the verbal and textual articulation of divine reality. It guides our mind on how to talk, you see, by providing a kind of intuition, not unlike that which provides over the composition of a poem. Not everybody is a poet, but everybody's tried to write poetry. Why is it we stop and search for a word? That's not the word, that's not the word, that's not the word. What's presiding over us? No, yes. You see, it's light, but it has to find a correspondence, you see? As Paul says, and a few lines later, quoting the Septuagint, you see, I believed, therefore I spoke out. I had an inspiration, therefore I wrote a poem. It's in that context, you see? Okay, now a little bit about culture, which we'll take up next time. Everybody talks about culture. Well, what is it? You see? This is a description coming from the document of Vatican II, Gaudium et Spes. Man comes to a true and full humanity only through culture. That is, through the cultivation of the goods and values of nature. Wherever human life is involved, therefore, nature and culture are quite intimately connected one with the other. The word culture in its general sense indicates everything whereby man develops, this is still Vatican II, man develops and perfects his many bodily and spiritual qualities. He strives by his knowledge and his labor to bring the world itself under his control, but a good control. He renders social life more human, both in the family and in the civic world. And he does this, you see, so that we can have a culture in our own world. So that's the beginning. Faith is responsibility for culture, summed up very powerfully in that one phrase that I started off with, faith which does not become culture, you see, is a faith which has not been fully received, completely embraced, or thoroughly thought through. It should be that thing which fills us and makes us who we are and gives us a vision of reality and wisdom on how to navigate through reality.